Well, good afternoon, or good morning, or whatever it is. I'm not sure what it is. The blessing of the little children, that is always so special. Usually I cry when I see that, or it touches me. I want to talk today about four building blocks for knowing God. And the four building blocks are, and you don't have to worry about writing all these down right now, we'll go over each one. But the four building blocks are knowing God on an emotional level, knowing God on an educational level, knowing God from your experiences, and knowing God by the things you are willing to do for Him. Now, I think a lot of time we have a tendency to think or to get locked into one building block. And maybe in the churches of God, we've gotten locked into knowing God on an educational level. It's all about my intellectual knowledge about God. But what I want to suggest is that each one of these building blocks is equally important. And there needs to be a balance between all four of these building blocks. So let's go through these. The first one is knowing God on an emotional level. Now, you notice in the picture, in the woman's face here, you know, it can go, there's a broad spectrum here from happy to sad and everything that is in between. And in Genesis 1 and verse 31, it says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." Now, I want you to think about how God felt when He had created everything. How do you think He felt? I mean, He had to feel very, very good. I mean, imagine what that was like. And so what we find out is that good feelings come about as a result of success, achievement, accomplishment, being productive. In other words, if you're just sitting around waiting to see how you feel, that is never good. You know, you just wake up and you say, "I wonder how I'm going to feel today." Usually that turns out sort of in a negative fashion. Now, when we talk about our emotions or showing emotions, you know, I think of the story, David danced before the Lord. And, of course, his wife accused him of exposing himself, but we don't want to go to that extreme. But, you know, I sometimes in the churches of God, I think maybe we could use a little more emotions. Believe me, I've been in churches of God that were almost like on death row, and somebody needed to shout out "clear" and shock this thing and bring it back to life. So, of course, I'm not much of a dancer, I'll tell you that. The music moves me, but it moves me ugly. I think there are, or can be, defining moments. I know I had one in our lives that keep us from expressing ourselves on an emotional level. And we can turn inward and say, "I'm never going to do that again, express myself outwardly." In the seventh grade, we were in gym playing dodgeball. And I was very good at dodgeball. I could not be hit. And I was outwardly expressing myself, jumping up and down. I was just having a great time. And there was a couple of guys over there watching me. And I don't know if they were jealous or whatever, but they came up to me afterwards and said, "You know, you really think you're something, don't you? You really think you're something, and you need to be lowered down to our level." And we got in a fight. And that event was a very negative defining moment for me, because I noticed from that moment I turned inward. And I thought, well, it must be wrong to express yourself outwardly. You know, you don't cry, you don't laugh too loud, you don't do any of that stuff. And so from that moment, I really did turn inward and did not express myself outwardly. And it's been a struggle ever since. And, you know, you can have good defining moments in your life, and then you can have very negative defining moments that can really trip you up as an individual. So sharing our emotions is important. But with every one of these building blocks, there is a positive side and a negative side. Many people relationship is with God is purely based on their emotions. It's extremely superficial. You know, it's just like, I just feel like I love God. Well, why do you feel like you love God? I don't know. I just know I do. I just feel like I love God. What emotions do you trust? Do you trust all of your emotions? Maybe you trust the good ones, you know, the things that make you feel really good. Is that a good thing to do? Always, you know. I remember it was when my parents celebrated Christmas. I think they quit when I was about 12 years old. And I remember lying on the couch and looking at the beautiful Christmas tree and listening to Eddie Arnold Christmas music. And lying on the couch feeling very spiritual, just feeling close to God. And I look back on that. It was a feeling. It was an emotion. And I thought, well, you know, I really didn't know a lot about God back then. I had not been called. I had a superficial understanding about God. But I felt, man, I just felt close. I felt spiritual. So I've learned to not trust all of my emotions. My sister tells the story of going to a camp revival meeting when she was about 15 years of age. And they had an altar call. And she went down to the altar and gave her heart to the Lord. And she said it was euphoria. It was the most wonderful feeling she had ever received. She felt really great. The strange thing is, later in life, when God called her, and she was baptized and accepted Christ as her personal Savior, she said, I didn't feel anything. Other than I felt good about the decision that I had made. That I was baptized, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. But there was no euphoria of feeling or emotion. So, for me, you know, I've learned to not trust all emotions that come my way. You know, there are two deeply religious spirit beings in the world, the good side and the dark side. And the dark side said, I will be like the Most High. Not totally different. Get this. I'm going to be like the Most High. Whatever he does, I'm going to do a little bit better. I'm going to twist it. I'm going to manipulate it. I'm going to pervert it. I'm going to counterfeit it. So I think our emotions can be deeply manipulated. You know, the Bible tells us to test the spirits, to see whether they are of God or not. I was watching a YouTube video just recently about a man who, you know, these near-death experiences, you hear about them all the time, you know, near-death experience, and he went to heaven, to the throne room of God, so he claimed. And he said, he was speaking, and he said, an angel told him, before the throne of God, an angel told him, you are loved. Okay, I can accept that. Then he said, the angel told him, you can do no wrong. Uh-oh, red light. Why would an angel tell you can do no wrong? Yeah, there is something you can do wrong. It's called sin. So, test the spirits, you know, to see where they're from. You know, often our emotions change according to our circumstances. We can be, you know, just loving God and then bitter toward God. Not all of our feelings can be trusted. So, knowing God on an emotional level, it's a good thing. It's a positive thing. But, you know, we need to make sure that we test these things that come our way, our feelings. Second one is knowing God on an educational level. And there's a picture here that sort of illustrates that, you know, all the stuff we can put into our head, knowing God on an educational level. The Bible speaks about this, the importance of this. Psalms 119 and verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Luke 4 and verse 4. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not but live by bread alone, but by every word of God. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. And one of the things that is important here about when it comes to knowing God on an educational level is you need to counter your negative emotions. So we're going to find out that these building blocks sort of intermesh together. You want to counter those negative emotions that come your way. In other words, when your emotion says, it's impossible, you look to the Word and it says, all things are possible. You see, your emotion says, I'm too tired. God says, I will give you rest. Nobody really loves me. God says, I love you. I can't go on. My grace is sufficient. I can't figure this out. I will direct your steps. I can't do this. You can do all things. I can't forgive myself. God says, I will forgive you. I'm afraid. I've not given you the spirit of fear. I'm always worried and frustrated. Cast all your cares upon me. So I'm not smart enough. I will give you wisdom. I feel alone. I will never leave nor forsake you. So you see the importance of what we understand about the Word of God. Sometimes we have to counter those negative emotions. And if you have to, write them down. Put them in your vehicle as you drive. And when those emotions come, negative emotions come your way, counter that with the Word of God. Okay, education you can get from the Bible about God is critical, but it's not at the top of the list. I think a lot of times we have a tendency to, well, this is the most important one. You ever met people who were intellectually converted? You know, I mean, they had all the right answers. I mean, they could answer, they could give you everything. They were right in tune, but that is about, was about as deep as it gets. I think there is such a thing as intellectual conversion, but it may not be real conversion. So knowing God in an educational level would include books, the Bible, books about God, CDs, DVDs, conferences, Bible study groups, sitting in church. You know, the education you're reading about, often you're reading about other people's faith and experiences. You know, you read in the Bible the patience of Job. You read the faith of Abraham. But the thing about it is, it's not, you know, it's not your faith. It's not your patience. And education is important, what we learn about God, but the rubber doesn't meet the road until it becomes your faith, your patience, your long-suffering, your overcoming, your trusting God. That's when it gets real. That's when it gets real. Now, I want to discuss just for a moment, because I think it's important, how to counter this bookworm mentality. It's all about my knowledge. Maybe I know a little bit of Greek, Hebrew, and I know a few words. And because often we can embed ourselves in one of these building blocks. It's all about my intellectual understanding of the Word of God. And so we get locked into one building block. You know, the charismatic movement, speaking in tongues, you know, that's being locked into one building block, your emotions. And so we want to have an equal balance here. And some people never get out of their favorite, let's say, building block. They get stuck in one. One time I was at a Church of God conference, and it's one of those occasions where I got seated, we were having lunch, and I got seated beside someone that, you ever get seated beside someone you wish you hadn't, you know? Well, this is one of those guys. I mean, and he was on fire. I mean, but I nicknamed him Twiggy, because he was not at the trunk of the tree when it comes to doctrine. He was out on the twigs, and I mean, some kind of little minute, you know, Hebrew word, and he was just bubbly and excited all about this, and it was what I call worthless knowledge. You know, I couldn't apply it in any form or fashion to my life. And I remember leaving that conference saying, I'm never coming back. Twiggy drove me crazy, you know. But how to counter that mentality of it's all about, you know, my intellectual knowledge of the Bible. How to counter it is this, Romans 1 and verse 20. That tells us, this is a different way of learning about God, but it's so critical. From the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly observed in what he has made. As a result, people have no excuse. You know, when you study creation, it's a different type of knowledge about God. You know, the hydrologic cycle. There is no new amount of water on the earth. It's been the same for 6,000 years. And the, you know, the vapors off the ocean arise up, and the deadly salt waters are left behind. That's critical. The deadly salt waters are left behind. The vapors turn into clouds. The clouds are carried away. They release their golden droplets of rain on the earth, and it goes back into the creek and the rivers and back into the ocean. I mean, it's just fascinating. It's fascinating to learn about God, about what he has created. You know, gravity. You know, the gravitational pull of the moon on large bodies of water. You know, we need it. God says, I need it, something to stir this up, because if I don't stir it up, it's going to stagnate and everything's going to die in the oceans, and then mankind will die. And so it's just, you know, it's fabulous way of learning about God, what God has created. The next one. So we got knowing God on an emotional level, knowing God on an educational level, knowing God from your experiences. Knowing God from your experiences. And this one, as you can see here, you know, got a little boy, and then you got a grown adult. And there's a lot to learn in between those two. David will say in Psalms 37 and verse 25, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, David could only learn this through experience. He didn't know this when he was born as a child. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. How long did it take to learn this? Took some time. Took experience to learn this. There's so much we learn from experience. So much. I have learned that, and it took a while for me to learn this. I didn't know this when I was first baptized, that God will not give up on me when I do wrong. He forgives. He is gracious. And he still blesses me. Took a while to accept that. You know, I didn't know that when I was first baptized. The experience of getting old. You know, that is one of the greatest, the experience of getting old is one of the greatest evangelistic works out there. I mean, if you want to know how to evangelize, just get old, I guess. You know, because we all want to live forever. I mean, we look and we say, man, I'm wearing out. So, you learn that through experience. Someone said experience is a hard teacher. She gives the test first and the lesson afterwards. God uses all of our experiences before and after baptism. I think that's important, because sometimes we think before baptism, you know, that was a waste and I can't see any purpose or plan in that. But no, he uses all of our experiences. And life is a tapestry that is unfolding as we get older. Your experiences is like nails driven into a wall that you hang stuff on. And those things that, you know, once you get it, you know, those are absolutes that you know about God. I know this, you know, as an absolute from experience. And again, even this one, people can get stuck in this building block, just knowing God. You know, there are a lot of people, some people that emotionally, it's not about knowing God. They don't study the Bible. They don't go to church. But they have an experience, and they learn things about God through experience. Maybe they're close to nature, and they have that, but it's not enough. It's not enough. The last building block, knowing God by the things you are willing to do for him. Knowing God by the things you are willing to do for him. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to keep? These are things you know about God, because you do them, you know. And I know, that I'm doing this because I'm doing this, you know, in my relationship with God. 1 John 2 and verse 4 says, he that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, this is where I think a lot of people can fall off the bandwagon, because, well, as far as what they will do for God, because their theology will not allow them to do anything. You know, it's just believe, just accept, just invite Jesus into your heart, grace plus nothing. And so they have a theology that really won't allow them to do anything much. So the things you can absolutely know about God are the things that you're willing to do for him, or many of the things that you're willing to do for him. And it's a big confidence builder. For example, I was after church, after Sabbath, we were going home, and we drove by Lowe's, and I thought to myself, I need a garage light that's blown out. Why don't you just stop in there and get it on your way home? Sun had not set yet. And I thought, David, you got 6 days to buy that light bulb. You're going by Lowe's every other day. It's not that important. But that's a decision that you make. And you do it for God out of respect for his Sabbath. You can know. You know, tithing is another thing. You can know. I absolutely know. I do this. And it's your ministry. Another thing, your ministry. Whatever your ministry is, you are the only one that can do what you do. No one else can do that for you. And you can know, okay, I do this. And it's a big confident builder in your relationship with God. I sort of think, you know, you cannot truly know God until the will is activated. Until the will is activated. But even there, you know, we should work to achieve balance, I believe. And even this one, you can get stuck in, people can get stuck in one building block. In other words, I know what I will do for God. I think the Pharisees fit into that category because they had erected the oral law, which was fence building around the law of God. And they knew, if you were to ask them, you know, do you know what you would do for God? They would say, oh, yeah, yeah. I know I will do this, 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 and all the things that they will do. And it became their righteousness, their self-righteousness, because they knew everything they would do for God. So there's positive and negative to each one of these building blocks. And the building blocks sort of intermesh together with one another. In Jeremiah 9 and verse 24, it says, but let him that glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. And I think in order to understand God's judgment, loving kindness, righteousness, you need to have these four building blocks. And you need to have them balanced out. So, the four building blocks. Knowing God on an emotional level. Knowing God on an educational level. Knowing God from your experiences. Knowing God by the things you are willing to do for Him. And hopefully, by working on this, we can come to this last scripture that I want to close out with. This can be the objective. This can be the goal that we're working toward by utilizing and practicing these four building blocks. Ephesians 4 and verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.